The second area, and that's where we left off last night, is Y radical. Y has J1 plus J2 equals P2 plus D equals H2. J1 plus J2 equals P2 plus D equals H2. There's the end of the bracket. And then, of course, the plus factor there is having reached maturity. And at that point, there is the imputation of blessing in time. Now, what's the J1 and the J2? J1 is the fact that all personal sins were judged on the cross and imputed to Christ. It's a judicial imputation as opposed to a real imputation, because a real imputation, you remember, has an affinity. It has a target. It has something to which it can be imputed. For example, a real imputation is Adam's original sin. What is the affinity with Adam's original sin? The genetically formed sin nature. See, that's the way that works. What is the affinity with human life? What is the target of human life? To what does God impute human life? To biological life. Simple enough. Now, what affinity that all personal sins have to Christ? None. So it's judicial. A judicial imputation, as opposed to a real imputation, has no target. It has no affinity, and it's simply based on a judicial decision, in this case, God's justice. The second imputation, the second J2, is the imputation of God's righteousness to us. Whether you realize it or not, at salvation, you received God's righteousness. Double portion, because we're royal family. Then, of course, we have P2, which is the second potential. It's all set up. In other words, you have the first two. You have judicial imputation number one, which is all personal sins were imputed to Christ and judged. You have the benefit of J2, God's righteousness has been imputed to you. So you have the potentiality. So no one is shorted. See, no one has to dig themselves out of a hole. Or let's see how people put it. When the cards were dealt out in eternity, you got a short hand. No. There is no such thing. Every believer starts under equal privilege and equal opportunity. You see, God is an equal opportunity person. He gives every believer the same opportunity. Then why is it that some mature and some don't? Why is it that some are blessed and some aren't? Why is it that some grow and some don't? Why is it that some make right decisions and some make wrong decisions? Well, it's easy. Wrong decisions come from wrong thinking. And wrong thinking results in the loss of reward or blessing in time. In other words, you are what you think, and some of you are strange. I mean that honestly. I can't figure you out. Some of you talk in riddles. Somebody should have taught you a long time ago what nay was and yea was instead of maybe. I don't know whether that's West Coast or what it is. Back East, everything is yea and nay. But then the further you go away, and California is absolutely absurd. They just flut around like they all live in Venice. And I'm not talking about Italy. They talk in riddles. And people are supposed to be intelligent because they do that. Oh, no. Hey, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. That's what the scripture says. What does that mean? Somebody asks you a question, don't say, well, I'm not, yes or no. See? If you don't want to do it, say no. If you're going to do it, say yes. And if you say yes, do it. Don't say yes and not do it. That's a lie. Well, I might. Never mind might. Are you going to do it or aren't you? See, that's the idea. That's why we have so many vacillating people today. That's why we have so many people who are lacking in the Christian life. They've never reached the decision where they say, I'm going to get with it. And put their mind to it and do it. Start a job, get in the middle of it, and finish it. I suspect there are some of you here tonight that have a lot of empty projects lying around. Things you started. That's a loser. A loser never finishes anything, but they got great ideas. Great ideas. Phenomenal ideas. Some of the worst losers I've ever known were brilliant people. Never accomplished a thing. One guy sold mops. That's the best he could do. Mops. Dust mops. And yet he had a degree in commercial art. Phenomenal artist. Phenomenal mind. Every time you pick up a Bic pen and look at that logo, he did that. That was his logo. Loser. Loser. What surprised me is he's from New York and his yay was never yay or nay, nay. Maybe that's the artistic mind. I don't know. You know that right hemispherical type? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Never have anything in order. They can't even find their left shoe. Yep. You know, we really ought to be thankful that we don't have to unscrew things at night before we go to bed. Huh? Now be careful, I said unscrew things. You know, like, put it someplace and because you'd lose it. I know somebody say, honey, did you see my finger? Honey, do you know where my hand is? Where did I put that foot? Oh, it's still in the shoe. Where's the shoe? See? Now, if you're in a real hurry, I guess you could have your feet already in the shoes and then kind of jump out of bed and start spinning. The fan would have some relevancy then, wouldn't it? You could be put together in no time by just holding on to the blades. Wife could sit there and say, what, whoop, whoop, you know. Crank. Honey, where are my keys? You've never heard that, of course, ladies. Can't find my glasses. Where are my glasses? Who took my glasses? With us, it's pens and lighters. Where are they? They've disappeared. Some of you don't have that problem. You have a problem with pens. Why is it that the pencils never have a point on them? Who chewed the eraser off? Huh? Brand new pencil. Never used it. Eraser's gone. Of course, when you have little kids, you know, they just love to nibble on those things. I suppose what God is saying, putting it in modern English, and I'm sure what every one of you can understand, get a life. Get a life. Be alive as a believer. So phenomenal. So wonderful to see God working in your life. And you're not out there hustling. You're not trying to make things happen. God makes things happen. And you just enjoy it. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And when it happens, it happens. And when it does, boy, it does. Sometimes it's like the 4th of July, and other times it's like Bastille Day, you know. You see, when the J1 and J2 combine, that sets up potential 2. The very fact that you have both of those means that you have privilege and opportunity. See, it's one thing if you're underprivileged, or as one of our ladies used to say, depraved. We had to keep reminding her the word was deprived. But you see, she was from New York, and she said continental also, and things like Long Island. I had to keep correcting her. It's continental. It's Long Island. Long Island. Continental. Mr. Miller. Drop the R's and add R's to A's. Amazing. Cuber. Isaiah. Yeah, Deacon really get aggravated me one time. I said, folks, man's name is Isaiah, not Isaiah. So he says, whatever. No, he really got this rot. He said, quit making fun of our accents. Of course, we brought 3 across country and we taped them. We let them hear the tape some years later and they went, whoa, wanted to hear them. Hey, Robin, knock it off. What do you think you're doing? So I would turn around and say, children, stop that. Yes, sure. How simple it was for me to pick it back up again. You see, I speak 4 languages. Actually, 5. One of them is New York. It's a language of its own. We've had people visiting. As a matter of fact, we have a man who normally attends class, who's there right now, and he's buying us certain things that we can't get here. We call them goodies from Jewish delis. Last time he went, he brought us a New York cheesecake. Oh, did we have fun with that. Say, what's the difference? Oh, please. That's like a ham on rye sandwich. That thick. They're $4, but they're that thick. 7 now, inflation. But it's a good place to visit, and it's certainly a good place to be from. But don't ever desire to live there. Well, most don't very long. Somebody takes them out. All right, so this is God's plan then for the immature believer. God's plan for the immature believers to receive blessing in time. And you see, that automatically does something. There's a reason why God is blessing you. You got to understand this. Blessing Blessing in time is the result of glorifying God in time. That's the way it works. And that's why he blesses you, because you're glorifying him. I suppose this would be a good place to ask the question, are you glorifying God in your life or self? You see, there are only 2 people you can glorify, yourself or God. Nobody else. No matter how much you may try to glorify some other member of the human race, inevitably, the glory always comes back to you, because that's why you were doing it to begin with. But you see, when you glorify God, he says, I'm going to bless you. for glorifying me. And the beauty is that the only way you can glorify God in time is when the Holy Spirit has control plus maximum doctrine in your soul, and it is God the Holy Spirit that works this doctrine so that God can be glorified, and then God blesses you for it. That's grace. I've heard so many believers say to me, well, you know, I don't know if I want to pay the price of all. You don't, what price? He does it all. And then he blesses you for letting him be glorified in and through you. Say, but yeah, he might ask me to do things that I don't want to do. Oh. Well, you see, that's called obedience. And there's a thing that we have a problem with. And there isn't a person in this room that doesn't have a problem with obedience, some more than others. So here's a formula for you. The degree to which you are obedient to the will of God in your life is directly proportionate to the potentiality of your being blessed in time. Because if you're lacking the one, you'll never have the other. The degree to which you are obedient to God in time. And how do we get our orders? Who cuts the order, if you please? The Word of God. That's where we get it. When I was in the service, every couple of days, new orders would come out for various things. Sometimes they were called a Twix. Sometimes it had to do with somebody going TDY. Temporary tour duty. Others may have been having to do with promotion. And it would have right on the top, orders. Then you'd have special orders. And some might even be secret orders. Top secret orders. For your eyes only orders. That kind of thing. See? And you'd read it. And the order of the day would say, blah, 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 blah. One. Blah, 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 blah. And you say, there'd you do it? Yeah, you find yourself looking behind strange little gray bars. And that came as a result of another order. When it comes to God's Word, we go, yeah, I guess. I suppose. Maybe. Hey, do yourself a favor. If it's going to be yea, get with it. If it's going to be nay, forget it and die the sin unto death and be miserable. But don't play games. Because you're going to lose. There are no winners in that kind of a game. None. Well, of course, God always wins. We're talking about members of the human race. Z radical. Z is the last. And it's fairly simple. Z equals the imputation of eternal life. So you have that. Remember, you had that way back under Y radical. Or rather, X. Plus the imputation of blessing in time. Now, what have you got the potential for? Watch this. You have eternal life. You have blessing in time. So what does God do? It's parlay time. He combines these two together. So if you've been blessed in time, you have eternal life, right? So what does he do now? He blesses you throughout all of eternity. That's the way it works. Here's how most believers are going to go. Now look at the formula. They have eternal life. They already have one half of the radical completed. But they don't have the blessing in time. So what can God parlay here for here? If this is a zero, what's this going to be? Is this too deep? If there's zero blessing in time and you have eternal life, what is your reward in eternity? Zero. Now that's logical. See, some of you were involved in or played too many kids' games where everybody won and everybody got trophies. I hated that. I despised it. John and I were talking on the way here where one of our grandkids, he was saying that he didn't like to play in a certain, T-ball, because you got 90 outs and you scored 400 runs. And everybody won. And at the end of the season, they handed all the kids trophies. That's bull. Soccer was the same thing. All first place trophies. Nonsense. Then the kid gets the idea, but then when they get up into junior high and high school, now it's competitive. Well, where's my trophy? Well, you didn't win. Well, I got one all my life. I want my trophy. Well, you're not going to get one. So they interject that youthful philosophy into that fact that everybody is going to be a winner in eternity, and that's not so. Those of you that came to the conference, you heard Dr. Rademacher. Now, the only thing I had a problem with Dr. Rademacher is why he's doing what he's doing here. What he's doing here, he's doing in the fact that he's going to receive a reward. That's not the motivation. The motivation should be to glorify Christ through pleasing Him. Then you're going to receive the reward on top of it. But you don't do what you do for the reward. Your motive is wrong. And I don't want anyone here to think that I'm suggesting that the motive should be the reward. Because when the motive is the reward, guess what? You're not going to get it. Because you'll fail to hit the mark. You'll miss the mark. You'll miss the target completely. The target is to glorify Christ. The result is blessing in time. Then Z, He's already given you eternal life, so you have one part of it already completed. But see, you still might be floating around up here in Y radical. You didn't complete it yet. But He's already set this one up for you. This is the missing factor that sets up the third potential. The third potential plus the pertinent doctrine. You'll notice, by the way, that in every case, the potential is only completed when the pertinent doctrine is believed. The pertinent doctrine is not just doctrine that is relevant to the potential. It is more than just simply relevancy. It's acceptance on the part of the believer or the non-believer in the case of X radical. He can hear the gospel and reject it. I've never seen as many unsaved people as we had here last Sunday. So it was apparent to you that there must have been somebody that was unsaved if you were here. Because I was hammering the gospel. And that's why. All I got to know, there's at least one unbeliever. Boy, and I'm gonna hammer for a while. And I did. But when I saw four or five, that just intensified me fivefold. I don't know what they did with it. But the pertinent doctrine was communicated. Now, what's the missing factor? They got to believe it. What's the missing factor of the pertinent doctrine in X radical? Gospel. What about Y radical? The information that you've received on a nightly basis here for the last 25 years. For me at least. Some of you haven't been here that long. You have time. Stick with it. By the way, I might add that the way some of you attend, if you could live for about 500 years, you'd probably reach maturity. Is that likely? Just thought I'd throw a little sarcasm in there. So point A, Z radical contains God's plan for the mature believer. It combines the two pluses, and you already have half of it. See, what it actually does is it takes the first two, which sets up the three. Watch. What was imputed as a part of X radical? What was the last imputation? Eternal life. What about Y radical? Blessing and time. See what happens? These two now combine to make up Z. EL plus BT equals reward in eternity. You say, I've closed that one. Great. So that's solved. That's done. How about this one? So God gives you the half. Here it is. This is the missing factor. As soon as you have this, you're all ready to go. You see why you have confident assurance? Do you have confident assurance that you have eternal life? Yes, sir. You have confident assurance that you have blessing in time? No, sir. Can you have as much confidence in time that you have blessing in time? Yes, sir. Just as confident as you are in this, you can be in this. Why? Because when X was completed, you moved into Y. The hope of X is no longer a hope. It's reality. You know there's a verse that deals with that? That very concept? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. This is where I'd be in great shape. That's why I love it when the kids have things going on here. Well, I'll just have to give it to you from my notes. Romans 8:24. Look at it. Does that say what I just said? Sure. Here's the corrected translation. Now, when a hope is seen, it is no longer hope. So, who hopes for what he sees? In other words, if you have the reality of something you're hoping for, you're not going to hope for it anymore. Now you live in the light of the what? Of the reality. Hope won. Eternal life. You have it. You don't hope for it. Hope two, blessing in time. When you have it, you don't hope for it. And eternal life and blessing in time combine together to make up reward and blessing throughout all of eternity. Point F. The imputation is the basis for each of these hopes. Let's get a few things down with that regard. 9 points. Very important that you understand the place that imputations have in setting up each of the hopes. 1. Hope is the confident anticipation of reality before the reality occurs. Repeat. Hope is the confident anticipation of reality before the reality occurs. John and I changed a water hose yesterday on his Celica. We had confident assurance and anticipation that it wouldn't leak. However, it leaked. So, I took the clamp off and put another one on it, with the confident expectation that that clamp would do what? Would stop the leak. The leak stopped. What's the reality factor? The leak stopped. Okay? Standing there looking at it. It's not leaking anymore. I'm not standing there saying, I hope it doesn't leak. It doesn't leak. You see what happens to us oftentimes in our lives? We have the confident expectation of something that's going to occur, and it occurs, and then we worry about the fact that it may not stay. That's why it's sinful. Of course, there's another way of looking at it, too, and that's arrogantly. That's where you just throw gook around the hose and throw it on, and it doesn't leak until it gets under pressure, and then it just pops right off because it was done improperly. I'm not trying to teach you about automobiles and water hoses. I'm trying to show you what life is. Once you realize a hope, you don't hope for it anymore. Remember, I used pregnancy as an illustration. When the child was born, you're not hoping that it's a girl when you're holding a girl in your hand. And what good would it do for you to hope it's a boy if it's a girl? What are you going to do? Have it going to surgery? And remember, only God can make a man. Any man can be made into a woman, but the order can never be reversed. Two. I know that's deep. Some of you are sitting there contemplating this thing. It's very simple, by the way. Once the reality occurs, the hope is replaced by that reality. Romans 8:24. The King James has it another way. And again, this is from memory. Now, hope that is hoped for or is not yet seen is hoped for. But as soon as the reality comes, the fulfillment of that hope, I'm paraphrasing now. Where's the hope? You no longer hope for it. You now have it in reality. 3. The hope of blessing in time is replaced by the reality of blessing received at the point of spiritual maturity. Four, the hope of blessing for eternity is replaced by the reality of receiving the blessing. In other words, here you have confident assurance because you have blessing in time that you're going to have. See, there's a missing factor there, by the way, a very important missing factor for blessing in eternity. Yeah, you got to die or be raptured. In any event, you've got to leave topside of planet Earth and go into the presence of the Lord. Now, you're standing there with a crown on your head and all the awards hanging from your chest and all of the blessing that God has prepared for you. And what are you going to do? Hope for it? Oh, sure hope I get a crown. And somebody standing next to you says, dummy, look on your head. Now, put your hands up. Right? No, there's not going to be any of that. Because there's confident expectation on the part of the believer who's been blessed in time that he's got blessing and reward at the judgment seat. But see, the close of that radical does not occur until eternity, when the reality is that blessing is given. 5. In each stage of the plan of God, there are two imputations which provide the potential and the hope. And the difference between the potential and the hope is the perception of relevant doctrine. I neglected to tell you this, but what is the pertinent doctrine of Z-radical? Eschatological truth. Eschatology, future things. Why is future things relevant? It's so obvious, isn't it? Because what's heaven? It's future. Would you rather, for example, that I taught on what heaven is going to be like for everyone, or teach you what is relevant in how you can reach maturity and be blessed in time? You know, a lot of believers, listen to me, a lot of believers would opt for listening to what heaven is going to be like. Why? Why do you suppose? Because it takes the heat off of the missing reality in the present. Children are that way. You ever catch a child stealing a cookie? In the cookie jar. Comes out with a cookie. What are you doing in the cookie jar? I'm giving it to you. See? Con, lying little brat, thieving little monster, I'm giving it to you. Yeah, sure. And if you weren't around, it'll gulp that thing down and reach for more. See, get the heat off. Get the heat off. How many have ever prayed, if you get me through this one, Lord? Just one more time. And I wish just once a voice would have from heaven would say, again, more lies, more supposed commitments, But God is gracious. He doesn't talk to us. Only the foolishness of preaching takes care of that. Unless you've been talked to by God, and if you have, you need to be committed. Point six. Doctrine in the soul makes the difference between the potential and the hope. The potential doesn't advance you. What English word is like the potential? You know that little big word that most of us use? If. That's the potential. Is if real? No. If ASU had not hit five home runs in a game, Miami might have won last night. But you see, they were playing for the Gipper. Their Gipper. Coach Brock. These guys were popping that thing left and right. As you well know, they won the game, what was it, 9-5? 9-4? Somewhere in there. They're still in the loser's bracket. Unfortunately, but we'll see what happens. Last year, if that ball had gone in, that 3-point, remember that last game? Huh? If the time hadn't run out in one of the games recently, remember they would have won that game. Time ran out and they went into overtime. At the buzzer. Swish. Too late. No basket. I went. If. Potential was there. But if doesn't mean diddly squat. Because there's no reality behind it. Hey, if I was 6'9", I may have been able to play basketball when I was in high school. If. You see, the reversionist has potential. What good does it do him? Doesn't do him any good until he makes it reality. Seven. In X radical, the two imputations equal condemnation. Condemnation provides the first potential. You might want to ask somebody a riddle sometime. When is condemnation a provision for blessing? Let me think. When God condemned us at physical birth. Because that set up the potentiality of our salvation, which sets up the potentiality of what? Our blessing. Think. See how can you can use these things, how you can interlock them? And they all interlock beautifully. It's a marvelous formula. In Y radical 8, the two judicial imputations provide potential for blessing. And then 9, in Z radical, the two imputations, which are really the result of X and Y, set up the potential and hope of blessing and reward at the judgment seat.
G.
That's not an exclamation, it's a point. G, by the way, if you realize it or not, is actually an expletive. Did you know that? Gosh is an expletive. Yeah, it's mild, but it's an expletive. Yeah. You say, oh my gosh. That's a mild expletive. Oh my God. That's blasphemy. But you see, when you say, oh my gosh, you don't have the guts to say, oh my God. See, that's the way that works. Say, oh shoot. Who? Because you really want to say, oh shoot. Huh? See? I'm in public. So I won't say poo-poo. Nine. In Z radical, the two imputations provide the potential and hope for blessing and reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Point G, when hope is replaced by reality, the believer advances in the plan of God. And that's where we'll begin tomorrow night. Point G, when hope is replaced by reality, the believer advances in the plan of God. So you see, you already know you're on your road to advance because you've gone from X to Y. You say, but how long should I be in Y? Why? Shouldn't be in there very long. For this kind of a surrounding, this kind of atmosphere, you could reach maturity no less than 5 years. No more than 10. I know people have been here for 15 years, still the same as they were. Here's what they're doing. They're moonwalking. They're not advancing. Oh, they have a few little more here, bits there, and a little bit more here and there and there, but it's irrelevant. What's the matter with you people? Get a life. Then on the other hand, I know people that have been here for 10 years and they're just marching ahead. And they're just about ready to break the barrier. That's exciting. And you see what that says to me? If one can do it, all of you could have. All I need. One can do it. I've seen some phenomenal changes in lives. And if one can do it, the potential is there for everyone. Because see, it's not a matter of your intelligence, your background, your environment, your scholastic standing, your educational background, nothing. How you were beaten up as a child, doesn't matter. Abused, rebused, refused, removed, doesn't matter. Locked in a closet, who cares? Burnt with cigarettes, stepped on, dropped on your head by your nurse, then stepped on, then burnt with a cigarette. Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, oh, well, you know, that's a special person there. They were abused as a child, so we'll have to make special. No, no, no. No special people in the plan of God. You may think you're special. Oh, how special. God's plan includes everyone. As a child of God. Isn't that nice to know, regardless of our background? Murderer, thief,
rapist, extortionist, good guy, soldier, sailor, and that in itself says something. Marine, whatever. God doesn't say, that's a Marine, eats nails, we'll give him special treatment. There's a Ranger, he'll never make it. No. When Mary was a captain, she had confident assurance that one day she would make major. When she made major, she didn't say, "Well, I hope I make major." No, she walked in confident assurance that one day she might make light colonel. But then she had other plans. The point is, when the hope is realized, the reality fulfills the hope. Get a life. Thank you, Father, for the time together, the challenge of your word, and of these principles that we have reviewed in our minds again. Dismiss us now, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.